The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program.
Hi, I'm Candace Michelle, and this is another segment of Our Community. There have been quite a few developments since our newest county commissioner was sworn in a little over a month ago, including a pay raise for the commissioners, an attempt to get back pay for Commissioner Boyce, eliminating the county administrator, and hiring a director of county operations for basically the same amount of money, dissolving the budget committee, and ignoring the autonomy of the Citizens Revenue Task Force, which has resulted in at least three member resignations, including that of the chair, Carl King. It's been a wild month or so, and hard to keep track of all the moving parts. My guest today is County Commissioner Sue Gold, who can hopefully shed some light on the whys and wherefores of all of this. Welcome to the show, Commissioner.
Thank you.
Sue, before we get into all of that, can you tell us a little bit about your background? When and where did you come from? When did you come to Curry County?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I started teaching in California when I was 22. I don't know whether I should say the year. Oh, I could do that. 1969. And then I moved here to Curry County because I just love this area in 1986.
How did you find out about it?
I vacationed to this area just loved it. So.
Yeah.
I found a property, found a job at the very lowest I was willing to accept.
And as a teacher?
Yeah. I've taught in Del Norte County for years at the high school and then at the college there.
And what do you teach?
I teach mathematics.
Ah, so that makes you good with numbers.
Yes, generally speaking. Sometimes I make mistakes.
Well, don't we all? I mean,
yes,
I don't go
do.
Anywhere without a calculator if I'm going to try and add things.
Well,
up.
I try to use my brain most of the time.
So you came here, you were here in the 80s?
Yeah, 1986.
Wow. So you've seen a lot of changes over the years.
Yes, I have. It's been interesting.
I bet it has. You've done a lot of volunteer work as well over the years.
Right. I've done a lot in the music area. I was the Friends of Music president for probably 15 years.
I didn't know that.
Worked on the firefighting up in Cape Ferrello, the Cape Ferrello Fire Department. I'm currently the president of their board.
Wow.
Let's see. I've been in the orchestra, the Curry Del Norte Orchestra.
No
for
way.
The last.
What do you play?
Well, I play.
We'll I am use the shocked.
Term, we'll use the term loosely, the violin.
And oh,
I've
wow.
done quite a bit of singing in various groups also. That's really my passion, to be honest with you.
Music.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You know, I didn't know that about you. That's amazing.
You learn something new every day.
I do. And weren't you also a port commissioner?
Yes, I was. And that's kind of an interesting story in and of itself. I had no desire to go into politics, but I was, do you want to hear the story?
I do.
Okay. I was doing some property management for a friend, and one of the port commissioners was encroaching upon his property, as well as the port property. So I went down to one of the port meetings, and I just kind of said, you know, all people who are using port property should pay the same going rate. And I said,
what a concept.
Most people are equal, but it appears some are more equal than others. And then after that, I was approached to run for office. One individual gave me $200, and I said, I just want you to know that because you gave me $200 doesn't mean I'm always going to vote with you or do what you tell me to do. I'll always do what I think is in the best interest of the port. And I was on the port commission for 12 years.
Oh, holy mackerel. I didn't know that either.
Then someone approached me about running for school board. And I really kind of hesitated, but they were in disarray, to be quite honest with you. And I'm presently on the school board, and I think things are much better there. And while on the school board, then I was approached about running for county commission. And I hesitated greatly because I knew of the dysfunction there. I thought maybe I could help.
The word that comes up when you think about the county is
well,
dysfunction.
Well, and that's kind of how I ended up at Cape Ferrello. There was a lot of dysfunction there, and we've settled things down greatly. So
good, good.
I'm kind of like, I guess, the cleanup person.
Wow.
I try to go in and help where I can. I'm not in it for praise about me or being the hot shot. I'm just not.
So you've called yourself a fiscal conservative.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly does that mean?
That means that I try to spend wisely. I look at, say, the money of the port or the money of the county like I would my mother's money. For years, I took care of my mother because she was incapable of doing all of the financial stuff. And I was very careful with how I spent her money. I'm a little more loose with my own money, but not crazy. And I think taxpayers' money is, I call it sacred money. People have worked very hard for that, and I feel it's my duty to try to spend it wisely.
So in the various positions that you've been in and the various jobs that you've had, what have you learned? You know, what are some of the lessons that you've learned? Maybe about managing people, about managing money, about working together?
Well, I would say one of the big things I've learned is about how a good board can function. And a good board functions by working together and coming up with decisions together and not going off and, if you have a disagreement, going out and shooting that proposal. I think it's important for people to be able to express their opinions on boards, and we're not always going to agree, which is fine. We certainly are going to disagree. In fact, I like that because then you get to hear differing points of view. And once a decision is made, you should abide by that decision and move on so you can work together. And when you have people not doing that, then it causes problems.
So when you decided to run for county commissioner, what was your platform? You know, what were you running?
I would say one of my biggest things on the platform was to get a county administrator. Because what happens is the three commissioners were charged with being in charge of administering, but they could not talk because of public meetings laws, except in a public meeting. And I thought that was very inefficient. Not only that, Curry County is a general law county. Over 50% of the general law counties have a manager, and that's very efficient. I keep hearing over and over again, well, the charter didn't pass by a great number. That's not what the charter was all about necessarily, was just getting a manager or an administrator. And I think an administrator is a much more efficient way to run a governing body such as a county. I know on the port we had a manager. On the school board, we have the superintendent that acts as a manager, much more efficient, because what happens is having board members is kind of like a revolving door because they're elected officials. They don't have to come with any special skill set. A manager, of course, has to come with a special skill set, and that could bring some continuity to the county. And so,
as well as being able to manage people, I mean, that to me is it's a big skill set, a very important skill set.
Oh, yes, it is, definitely.
I mean, so, if you can't manage people, if you just kind of tick people off every time you open your mouth, there's a problem.
Definitely. So,
and I noticed that at the city, you know, they have a city manager, City
yes.
of Brookings, and they've got an unpaid city council, five-person
right.
city council that sets policy, and then the city manager carries out the policy.
Exactly. And that's the job of a board. A good board sets policy, and then they abide by that policy. But that's not always the case. That if they don't abide by that policy, then what we have is dysfunction. And then we have a lot of the problems that have occurred on our board.
Yeah, it when I look back in the recent past, it looks like there's been a lot of drama, you know. There's been a lot of drama.
And you're putting it mildly.
I know. And I wasn't at any of those meetings. I think I actually went to a Board of Commissioners meeting one time and was there for about 2 hours, and that was it. I not only couldn't stay, but I couldn't go back. It's like it was just too crazy.
I've got to tell you, this is the most dysfunctional board I've ever been a part of. For that reason.
And it doesn't seem to get any better. It's like when I first remember it kind of getting wacky, it was because Tom Huxley and David Brock Smith were constantly at each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was Tom Huxley and Court Boyce constantly at each other. And now it just looks weird.
Well, I've been considered, at least some have called me, the voice of reason. I love to look at both sides of an issue before I make a decision. I just think that's very important. There's been some decisions made lately where I have done some research and background material, and I ended up being the one dissenting vote, which is fine. I don't mind that. And what I'm going to do is just specifically tell the public why I'm voting the way I'm voting. Because I want it on the public record.
Yeah, and I think that's very important. You know, I've had a couple of people say to me that they don't know what you think because you're quiet, and I think perhaps you're quiet because the other people are making so much noise you can't be heard.
Well, let me just put it this way: I am very careful about what I say. I think it's important to present the facts and only the facts. Because I'm a math teacher, I'm able to take complex problems and get them down to something simple. And so when people are talking, I can usually synthesize what they're saying maybe in a couple of sentences, and I've had to do so on numerous occasions while being on the board.
Yeah, because some people just like to talk.
I mean, yes.
They do. They just like to hear the sound of their own voice.
Well, and sometimes in talking, in my opinion, I have to say in my opinion, they'll talk, but they're not saying anything.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. So can we talk a little bit about what's gone on recently with the Board of Commissioners?
Sure, and let me just kind of preface that. Mm-hmm. I try to be a good board member. Once a decision's made, mm-hmm. I'm going to abide by that decision. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to be shooting anybody in the back and mm-hmm. complaining and so forth while we talk. I'll just give you the facts. How's
good.
That?
That's excellent. So I think, you know, one of the big things is that almost immediately upon Chris Pasch taking office, the Board of Commissioners voted themselves at least a reinstatement of the salaries. And I know that citizens are going to be a little upset about that, given that the county doesn't have any money. So can you talk a little bit about how that happened, why that happened, blah, blah, blah?
Okay, well, let me try to give you a little background.
Good.
When I ran originally, I said if there was a manager, I would be willing to work for $10,000 a year. And I did that simply because I thought that money, that extra money, could go towards a manager. Then when Mr. Pasch came on, the administrator or manager position was eliminated immediately, the very first day.
Wow.
And, of course, I voted against that for the reasons we've just spoken against or talked about.
Right.
And So once the position was eliminated, then all of these other duties were put on the as the job as, of the commissioners.
Right.
And I felt at that time if the other two commissioners were receiving full salary, since there was no administrator, I felt like I should be getting the same and not be
right.
feel like I was less than the other two. And quite frankly, it's not about the money with me.
Well, it couldn't be if you were willing to take that salary decrease for so long. So, mm-hmm. you know, it couldn't be. But it's concerning. It's concerning to me that and I'm sure to other people, that there's not enough money in the county. That's been, for years, that's been the message, is that the county doesn't have any money. I mean, since the whole ONC.
ONC?
Yeah, the ONC. So what, maybe you can give us a little background on the ONC.
Okay, let me just give you a little, very, very short history of the ONC. In 1866, and to be honest with you, I went and looked this up today because I knew you were going to ask this question. So what happened is the federal government originally gave land. It was granted to Oregon and California to build a railroad from Portland to San Francisco. That didn't happen. So in 1916, the 18 counties that were part of that received 50% of the timber receipts. And then later, when less timber was harvested because of the spotted owl and so forth, the revenue decreased greatly. And so the federal government added federal revenue to kind of make up for that. Curry County has depended on this revenue to survive. So the funds have been greatly reduced since 2000. And partial funding has taken place. Now, just to let you know, the commissioners knew ahead of time that this funding was going to be decreasing. In my opinion, notice I'm going to say in my opinion, mm-hmm. Nothing was really done to prepare for the future when the funds were going to be gone. The road department, though, did prepare. Dan Crumley, bless his soul, put money away and was very judicious in how the money was spent, so that when the time came, when the federal government cut back on the funds, then he was prepared. These funds were supposed to be cut off in 2003, but there's been several extensions on this, and we don't know from year to year if we're going to get these funds. And so it's kind of like we're begging every year, mm-hmm. and I hate to be in that position. Mm-hmm. I would like our county to be self-sufficient and be mm-hmm. able to do it. So mm-hmm. anyway, this is kind of a brief history mm-hmm. of ONC.
So if you don't actually know what's coming in terms of revenue, it's pretty hard to do a strategic plan then.
Yes, I would say so.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So interesting. You've seen the commission, the Board of Commissioners, has seen the decrease in funding for almost 20 years now. I mean, it's, mm-hmm. right? It's going...
But they knew about it before 20 years, just to let you know, because the government did say, you know, in 2003, it's going to be cut off completely.
Wow. And yet nothing really changed. I mean, right? We didn't see...
I'm going to have to say a little bit changed. One of the big changes, I think, that was helpful is some of the big programs were outsourced, one of which is Curry Community Health. Mm-hmm. That was a big drain on the county. Mm-hmm. And so the county now oversees Curry Community Health, but those individuals who work for Curry Community Health are not on PERS and all of that. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether you're aware, but probably about 50 to 60% of a person's, like if I were to make 100,000, 50 to 60,000, and I don't make 100 just to let you know, $50,000 to $60,000 would have to go towards benefits.
That's top of the 100,000.
On top of the 100,000.
Wow.
So that's huge. And so outsourcing some of the the programs.
Right.
Another one we've outsourced is IT.
Okay.
So that helps greatly in cutting back what we're paying out. And so
now, are those special districts? Or are they just spun off into their own organization?
Those were spun off into their own organizations.
Okay.
For instance, IT, we contract with Coos Curry Electric to do that. And Curry Community Health is not autonomous from the county, but they are sort of. We contract with them to do the services that are required by the state.
And the Humane Society was one of them, right? Or the
Right. Curry. And that was just dropped.
Oh,
I don't know what's happened on that. To be honest with you,
I think there's still an organization.
There's still an organization, but the county does not pay for them.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Wow. So it's part of the issue then was that the money that was going out, some of that was outsourced, so that wasn't happening anymore.
Right, and so that cut back on the amount of money that the county had to spend for services. And just to let you know, some services in the county are required, others are not.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we focused enough on that,
because
if we were to focus on that, I think we could cut back even a little more.
Oh, really?
And people in the county, people are people, they want to have the services that they want.
Of course, of course.
But then they have to pay for them, unfortunately.
Right.
So...
It also seems I'm kind of circling back a little bit to the paid administrator. It seems if you've got a boss, a paid administrator who has not only experience but hopefully some education in terms of how to run a city or a county, you know who your boss is. So if you're a staff member, that is a constant that doesn't change, whereas the county commissioners are elected, reelected, or not reelected.
It's called a revolving door.
Right. So it makes it rough, I would think, if you are a staff person, because you don't know who you're going to be answering to. And in 2 years' time, it could be somebody that, you know, you really don't get along with.
That's one of my big reasons to have an administrator. So
I think it's excellent. Excellent.
I just think there's more consistency doing that way. It just makes more sense to me. I'm kind of a common sense type of person.
Well,
so.
It obviously makes sense, because when you look at other government entities, that's the way they run. If you look at corporations, that's the way they run. I mean,
exactly.
Yeah. I just want to remind our listeners that you're listening to KCIWLP 100.7 FM. This is Our Community, and I'm speaking with Commissioner Sue Gold today. So, Sue, it just seems like it's been kind of crazy for the past month or so. It just seems maybe a little bit crazier than normal.
Well, let's just say a lot's happened in the last month.
Yes.
A lot of decisions have been made.
So part of the elimination of the county administrator, how did that happen?
That happened the first day that Mr. Pash came in. He was sworn in on Monday, January 7th, and we had a special meeting right after his swearing in.
Wow. Okay. Was that meeting publicized?
I believe it was, yeah.
Interesting. Because there are rules about...
Public meetings, yes, there are.
Right. Okay. So there was a resolution that I think you guys had passed.
Yeah, we had passed it probably the year before. I can't remember the number.
Yeah, 1701 or something like that.
1701, yeah. And that was the ordinance that created... the position for manager, and then the ordinance 1701 no longer exists, so we do not have a county manager at this time.
But my understanding that Julie Schmelzer was hired in a similar kind of position. What is, I think she's a county, what, county operations director or something?
Yeah, she's the operations director.
What exactly is that?
Well, I looked at her job description, and I would say that she has all the powers with the exception of hiring and firing. She recommends who is hired and probably would recommend who is fired, but it's up to the commissioners to do that.
Okay. So, in the attempt to save money, which I would just think would be the focus, we now are paying three full salaries for county commissioners, plus benefits, whatever they are. And while we're not paying for a county administrator, we're paying for a county director of operations, which is about the same salary.
Close. She gets $1,800 less per year.
So
I might be off by a couple of dollars.
So it seems to me like we've not cut back.
Yeah, I would say the net position is we're spending more money.
Yeah, like hundreds of thousands more money, I would think.
Well, let's see. 56 plus, well, about 128,000, but that's just without the bennies.
Right. Yeah, okay. I think when we were at the...
No, I take that back, 148,000, because I didn't include Boyce's 20,000. So, yeah, that's the difference, plus benefits.
Yeah.
So you add another 50% to that. And
does that take into consideration the county operations director?
What I did to come up with that figure, I just took the commissioner's pay.
Okay.
That's all
Got
I
it.
Did.
Got it. So we have less money and the first...
And we're spending more? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes. I'm sorry. It just seems so completely illogical. I'm sorry.
Well, let's just say it how it is.
I mean, how does somebody do that? How do they justify that? I'm sorry. How do they justify that?
You mean the others or me?
Well, clearly you are not justifying it.
I was in the meeting. They said this is a restoration of mm-hmm. pay. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. So let's just pretend for the moment that the money actually is there to pay these salaries, which,
okay,
you know, whatever.
It is for this year. Put it that way.
Okay.
We're going into carryover funds.
Okay, great. So that kind of short-term thinking basically is what's going to continue to carry the county through another year.
At this point in time, I'd have to say yes.
So there was a task force that was instituted. It was called the Citizens Revenue Task Force, I think.
That's right.
And the former Board of Commissioners did that, you and Tom and
Right. We okayed that. Mm-hmm. We put that in 2018. I don't know the exact date, but they had a number of meetings. Very, very smart people on that committee. But one of the stipulations in setting up that committee was that it was to be autonomous. Commissioners were not to go there to try to coerce them or whatever into doing what they thought was best. And then that committee was supposed to bring their recommendations back to us. And one of the recommendations was a TLT tax, which I am...
What does that stand for? Yeah, right.
Transient lodging tax.
There you go.
And that's for hotels and places that put tourists up.
Right. Specifically in the county.
In the unincorporated areas of the county because the cities already have a TLT.
Right.
Both Brookings and Port Orford and Gold Beach. So.
And my understanding from talking to some of the members of that task force was that they were looking for a way to... impact the actual citizens who couldn't really afford any more taxes, the very least that they could, while finding a source of revenue that would actually continue, would not be like a one-time thing, but would be a continuous thing.
To be honest with you, I am all for that. And the reason I'm for that is because the tourists use all of the services in this county, roads, all of that. But in a lot of areas, they have not been contributing. And I've never been to a motel ever, anywhere, without having to pay a lodging tax.
Right.
And sometimes there's not only a lodging tax, but a sales tax on right. top of that. So,
right. And I think that the percentage that they were talking about was 4% or something like that.
7%.
7%. Mm-hmm. It's a fairly low amount of money, you know.
And that's going to be on the ballot. Mm-hmm. And I just did some figures because I'm one of those kind of people. Mm-hmm. When I go out and I notice that most of the time I spend time in a motel, it's right around 10%, 10 mm-hmm. or 11.
Okay.
So
good.
And in some areas, I'm sure it's even more. So
right, right. So what happened? Because from what I understand, we've now got three resignations on that task force.
Well, this is my understanding, and I'm just going to go by my understanding. One of the commissioners went to one of the meetings, and I guess some of the committee members were not too happy about that. So they resigned, because they felt like they wanted to be an autonomous group, as they were promised, and they weren't feeling that way, I guess.
Yeah, we actually were there filming that meeting.
Okay, so you saw it firsthand? What did you see?
Yeah.
I'm not supposed to be interviewing you.
No, it's perfectly okay. Now, Commissioner Boyce came in and sat down, and before the meeting even started, Carl King, who's the chair, said, you know, we're supposed to be autonomous here, and, you know, you're really not, you know, supposed to be here. The commission decided, you know, that we were autonomous. And basically, Commissioner Boyce said, I'm not leaving. You know, I'm here as a citizen. So, you know, it was pretty unfortunate. Because you could see the look going across everybody's face was like, oh, okay. So the lay of the land has now changed, which is really unfortunate. Yeah, because, my impression listening to them talk was that there were some extremely bright people on that task force. And they were coming up with really rock-solid good ideas for bringing in revenue.
Oh, and I agree. And it's unfortunate that committee has been disbanded.
It's ridiculous.
And my guess is not all of the committee members agreed with each other, but they at least talked it out and came to some conclusions. And I think that's so important for people to be able to listen and talk and get their ideas out there.
Because you aren't going to agree. I mean, that's a given. You're not always going to agree with people. But there is a middle ground that can be found. There are compromises that can be made on all sides, and you can find a way forward if that is really your intention, is to find a way forward.
And I'll have to say, I think that's one of my strong points. Mm-hmm. I'm able to look at both sides and then try to come up with a middle ground. I will not compromise my principles, mm-hmm. but I will try to come up with a middle ground when I can see the positive points of both sides. And I have done that since I've been on the commission.
So that kind of brings us to the budget committee, which got disbanded by the commissioners. I mean, how does that happen?
Do you want me to give you some background?
I sure do.
Okay. The budget committee should consist of one person in the south, one person in the central county, and one person in the north. Okay. We had a commissioner from the south and a commissioner from the north, and there was an open position, excuse me, central, and there was a position opened in the north. Okay, applications were turned in, and one clearly, and we were kind of against a timeline here, mm-hmm. one clearly was much better than the other as far as qualifications goes. Mm-hmm. This individual was a forensic auditor.
Mm.
And so certainly this individual had a real good understanding of how budgets should work.
Right. You so would want that expertise on a budget committee. Yes. And this is a citizen. This is just an ordinary citizen volunteering.
Well, exactly.
Yes. Okay.
I wouldn't exactly call him ordinary, though. There's not too many forensic auditors hanging out there.
That's true.
So
I'll just call him a citizen.
Let's just say this individual was very close to being in the North, 7.9 miles away.
Oh, okay.
And so
for all intents and purposes.
I thought it was important to have someone mm-hmm. who was qualified mm-hmm. versus someone who was 7.9 miles away from the North.
Yes.
But this committee was disbanded.
So
because of that.
Okay, so but when this person was put on the committee, the rest of the commissioners agreed that this person was.
With the exception of one.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Unfortunate. Okay. So they, I'm assuming the two now, because it's 2-1 and mm-hmm, you're the one. Mm-hmm. So I would assume that they decided that it wasn't okay to have this person on the committee anymore.
Well, their solution to it was to dissolve the entire committee and then get new applications.
And what on earth would be the rationale for that? Why wouldn't you keep the two people that you have already? And
problem was there were two from Central, both of which I felt were very qualified because they spent an inordinate amount of time studying the budget. They knew it inside and out. They didn't always agree with the commissioners or the people in power.
Right.
But I was very happy with that because you got to see both sides of the issue.
Right.
And then you could make an educated vote.
Right.
And I was sorry to see the budget committee dissolved. I voted against it. For that reason, I think it's important to hear both sides before decisions are made, even if you don't like what they're saying.
It just seems, I don't know, it just seems draconian, I guess, you know, to eliminate the all three of the citizens. I mean, to dissolve the committee because one person on the committee is not,
Well, that's why I voted no.
Yeah, exactly. So when is the budget committee, I'm assuming the positions are open at this point.
They're open. They have until, I believe, February 20th to apply.
Okay, that's not much time.
No, it's not.
I hope that information is out there for people so that
they
know.
Well, and I hope we can get some qualified candidates, but I hated to see the others go because they were so familiar with what was going on. And
could they
reapply if they want?
Right? Uh-huh. Because I think one of the people was Carl King, who was also heading up the task force. Mm-hmm. And from what I'd seen looking back years, it looked like he'd been on the budget committee for quite a while.
Yeah, I think he was on the budget committee for at least 6 years.
And but you kind of need...
You can correct me if I'm wrong. I might be.
But you need to be on those committees for some time before you really do understand all the ins and outs.
Oh, I would have to agree because the budget is probably 2 inches, 2.5 inches thick.
Wow.
With all the departments and what goes on. And governmental budgeting is totally different than private business budgeting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to understand it. And
when does the budget committee, when are they supposed to start getting together to talk about the new budget?
Well, we were having quarterly meetings mm-hmm. just to see where the county stood as far as the budget, which mm-hmm. I thought was a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the county accountant is in the process of interviewing department heads, which is, I'm very impressed with that because they sit down and they talk about the budget, where the department is, what their needs are, that sort of thing. And mm-hmm. to my knowledge, that had never been done in
wow.
the past.
Excellent.
And so they're in the process of doing that. The county accountant, I mean, the budget doesn't just appear magically.
No.
It takes months and months
right.
to put together. So that's where it is right now. And not what, having that committee is unfortunate.
Problem.
Yeah.
What's your fiscal year?
It goes from July 1st to June 30th, okay. and the budget meetings are scheduled for the middle of May.
Okay. So if new people are coming in, they've got a couple of months to come up to speed, but they're going to have to really do some studying over a couple of months up to speed.
Mm-hmm.
What's the composition of the budget committee? Who's on it? Generally speaking.
Anybody? Oh, you mean, okay, so we've got three citizens, one mm-hmm. from the north, south, and central, and mm-hmm. then we've got the three commissioners.
So when a decision is made by the budget committee, does the board of commissioners have the ability to overturn that decision, or how does that work?
Well, what happens on the commissioner salaries, they don't have the ability to overturn that decision.
Ah.
But on everything else, they could. For instance, we could go through all of the budget meetings, and then the commission could just turn it down.
Okay. Wow.
So
that would be unfortunate.
That could happen.
Huh. So if the budget, so interesting that the budget committee could have decided then. Well, they couldn't have decided. I was going to say they could have decided to not reinstate those salaries, but they couldn't really if the budget committee is made up of half of the.
Well, I will have to tell you on the salary issue, it was a 4-2 vote on both the issues. There were two
okay.
issues. One was reinstate the salaries of the commissioners, and the second one was give Commissioner Boyce his back pay of $10,000.
Back pay? For what?
Well, he felt that he should have his pay, that he took a salary cut for the last half a year. He felt he should have that back.
Why? I'm sorry, you're not Commissioner Boyce, so I guess you can't.
No, he felt that he had done work sufficient for that.
I see. You're listening to KCIW LP 100.7 FM. And this is our community, and I'm talking with Commissioner Sue Gold. Okay, Sue.
Boy, I am on the hot seat today.
Well, it's mind-boggling, really, the stuff that is going on. And, I mean, it just looks to me like there's an agenda, and it's not the agenda that I had hoped was there. I'm not sure that having three commissioners working full time, you know, whatever that means, is the way to run a county. I mean,
every county is a little different. Some counties have five commissioners. Some counties have three commissioners. The smaller ones, generally, I did quite a bit of study on mm-hmm. this while I was advocating for an administrator, and mm-hmm. Some were paid full salaries, some were not. So mm-hmm. it just varied. So,
when I was doing a little bit of reading, the reading said something about the state had set the counties up in a certain way back then, you know, 1800,
mm-hmm,
whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But the expectation was that the counties would kind of move on from that set of government. That set of government was appropriate for the time, but counties have since seen that going with an administrator is a better way of governing.
All of the large counties have administrators, every one of them. I couldn't even envision them functioning without
right.
an administrator.
Right.
Some of the counties even have just a judge that's in charge.
Really?
That's how it all started out.
Wow.
And then we have charter counties. And they all have an administrator.
So what is, wasn't that what was on our ballot? Was something about a charter?
That was on the ballot.
So what
happened on that?
Yes.
I would say the big complaint that people said is we wouldn't have our elected officials and the people wouldn't have a say. That was overall my perception.
So that's not true, right?
No, some of the positions would be appointed, the ones that needed expertise, the tax
collector.
Like
the administrator.
The administrator, the tax collector,
right.
Treasurer,
right.
Probably the recorder also, because there's a special skill set that's needed
right.
for those positions.
Right. And so was it just perception, do you think, that you know, people felt like their rights were being taken away somehow?
I would say that was the biggest thing, the reason that went down, yeah.
Because, they still would elect the commissioners.
Exactly.
Just like we still elect the city council members mm-hmm. in Brookings. We just don't elect the city manager.
And I think maybe what happened is the people who were advocating for the charter probably were not explicit enough in explaining
mm-hmm.
what would be the good side of that
mm-hmm.
versus the bad side. And the people on the other side, it was, quite frankly, just the politicians that were fighting for that. So.
Mm-hmm. And I would imagine that if you were in an elected position where you kept getting reelected, because some of those positions, the people do keep getting reelected every year because mm-hmm. nobody really runs against them and
well,
nobody really.
Definitely they'd be fighting for their job.
Right. So
yeah.
you can kind of see why, you know, why they would be opposing that. But it just seems like, again, you're not looking out, and by you, I mean the people who are in those positions are not looking out for the good of the county. They're looking out for their own good.
That's true. And if you look at the whole picture, I'm looking nationally.
Mm-hmm.
We have congressmen, senators that have been there forever. And this is my take. I don't know that you want to hear this, but I'll just give it to you.
Of course I do.
I think if all retirements were taken away and benefits were taken away, especially retirement, then they wouldn't be running time and time again. It wouldn't be a career.
Yes.
It would be a service. And in my opinion, this should be a service to yep. the people of the county,
yep.
not a career or not a job.
No. I absolutely agree.
It is a job. I shouldn't say that. I'm committing
no.
heresy here, but
but a job is different than a career. You know,
exactly.
I mean, everybody,
you have a job for a short period of time
yes.
where you're serving the public
yes.
and doing what's in their best interest.
That's right. And if you look back, I think that's the way this country was founded. I mean, that was
exactly.
the idea, was that people were supposed to go to Washington or wherever the capital was and serve for 2 years.
And go back home.
And then go back to the farm.
Exactly.
Go back to being a farmer, because you wanted the people to be represented, not special interests and not, you know.
Yeah, I'll have to agree with you.
So it just seems really illogical to make a career out of politics. It just...
Well, unfortunately, that's what's happened.
I know.
And this is just systemic of what's happening nationally.
No,
so.
I agree. And it's no wonder that the politicians are out of touch with the citizens, because they
mm-hmm.
don't live the same kind of life that we do.
That's true.
You know, they have no concept. I mean, you know, just the whole shutdown thing. I mean, they had no concept.
And I'm not talking parties, I think.
Yeah, no,
it's
exactly.
endemic throughout the whole system.
Exactly. I absolutely agree. It's appalling, really. It's
mm-hmm.
appalling.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to get into this on a big scale, because I don't think we've got that much time.
Well, I'm the one that drew you off. So.
No, I love it. I love it. And I really would like you to be a regular guest if you'd be amenable to that, because you have so much information about what's going on at the county, and you can succinctly say what it is, and that's really valuable. I don't think most
of us
know.
Well, I like that word, succinctly.
I do, too.
Say it short, sweet, and to the point.
There we go. So there's something I saw recently about a gun amendment or something that was going to come in front of the Board of Commissioners. Do you know anything? Well, you must know something about it. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, let me just give you maybe one sentence that describes it. It's kind of like a sanctuary gun county.
Okay. So what exactly does that mean?
Well, if you look at sanctuary cities, mm-hmm. they are going against federal law, immigration laws to mm-hmm. be a sanctuary city. Mm-hmm. And we would probably be going against state and federal gun laws to become a sanctuary gun county.
So a sanctuary gun county would mean that the sanctuary part of it is that this county would not abide by the background checks and
yeah, and I don't know all, I'm not going to speak to all of the
right.
details of it because there's supposed to be a workshop on it. And at the workshop, my guess is things would be tweaked or whatever before
right.
it comes. It's supposed to go before the voters for a vote. And quite frankly, I think that's what should happen on a lot of issues. So
in order to go before the voters...
The commissioners would have to agree to put it on the ballot, I
okay.
would think, first.
Okay. And are they looking at May? Because that's right
there's
around.
Absolutely no way it could go on in May because all of the ballot measures have to be to the recorder by February 19th.
Which is like a few days.
Next week.
Right. Okay. So what is going to show up on the May ballot, though, is the tax.
TLT.
The TLT, which is mm-hmm. that lodging tax. And that's specifically in the unincorporated areas.
Yes.
That's not in the cities in the mm-hmm. county. And what do you think the chances are of that passing?
I think if it's explained in the right way, there's a good chance that it could pass. There was a similar measure a couple of elections ago, actually when I was running, that went on there, and that did not pass. It failed by a very small amount, and one of the reasons it failed is because there were no stipulations on where those tax funds would be spent.
Okay.
This measure is going to be doing, well, first of all, 70% of all revenue has to go towards tourism. The other 30%, 25% of that would go towards sheriff's deputies, and the other 5% would go towards administration. Now, out of that 70% that goes towards tourism, half of that would go towards building the event center at the fairgrounds, which I think could be a real good thing economically for the county. And then the other half would be determined to go by a committee. There's going to be a committee formed that will determine where that other half of the money goes, and that would be towards building a better tourism structure. In my opinion, I think, like the Port of Brookings Harbor is in dire need of a facelift.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of thing, because that's, in my opinion, like an uncut diamond
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
of our county.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think if the money is targeted to really good things, then this could be helping our county economically.
And it seems to me that, it's kind of an uphill battle if people think that the money that is going to be collected is basically just going to pay the commissioner's salaries.
Myself, I am more interested in being for something if I know where that money's going to go and if I agree with the purposes for that money in the expenditure of that money.
Right, right. So then I would think that with the basic guarantee of where these funds are going to be spent and spent in a way that is going to positively impact regular citizens, that this would be a good thing to vote for.
I think so. I would vote for that.
Good.
Now, there is a caveat there. Future commissions could decide to change the way that the money is spent.
Okay. That's
just have to tell you.
Okay. Well, thanks for that.
Well,
unfortunate.
It's important to be honest.
No, it is.
Just like the administrator position was nixed, this
I
could
see.
Be nixed also.
I see. Well, Sue, I hate to tell you this, and I told you before we started that this was going to happen, but we're almost out of time.
Oh, my goodness.
I know, exactly. That's exactly what happens every single time. So I really would like to have you come back if that's something that you'd be willing to do.
Okie dokie. I would be happy to do that.
That's just perfect. Do you have anything further you want to, any last thought?
Well, I would tell anybody out there that before I make any vote, I always look at, is this in the best interest of the county before I vote for anything? And I've always worked that way when I'm on the school board. I say, is this in the best interest of the children here in this district and the schools here? Or at the port, is this in the best interest of the port? And I think that's so important. I'm not there for me or my aggrandizement or any of that. So
if somebody wanted to get in touch with you about something, how would they do that?
They could call me at the county, or they could look on the county website and just email me. So I'm great. Right there.
Great. Thank you so much.
Night or day.
Thank you so much, Sue. And thank you for listening. If you're enjoying our programming, visit our website, kciw.org, and become a member, sponsor a show, or volunteer your time. KCIW is your community radio station. This has been Our Community with special guest County Commissioner Sue Gold. I'm Candace Michelle.
The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program.